What's up? It's good to see everybody. Y'all have packed out that whole back section over there. I don't know. It's like I don't see like a seat in between anybody, and then like we got like this whole section up here. Y'all must be Baptist. So, no, I'm just messing with you. It's good to see you this morning. I want to thank you for joining us. I want to say real quick, this is on my heart before I forget it. There is an opportunity, and I have a connection because I went to school there, Davidson Academy, a friend of mine who is over alumni and over a exchange student program that they do there. He contacted me this week with a need. It's a pretty big need, but I just thought, you know what, if we don't throw it out there, we don't know if somebody might be supposed to be a part of this. And there's no telling how God could use you in somebody's life to do something like this. And it would definitely be sacrifice to do it, I'm sure. But they have exchange students that have come here and are coming here for this school year. And they had one family that fell through, is not going to be able to take the student. And it is a teenage girl. And they're looking for someone that would be willing to house this girl, feed her. Let her live with you for the whole school year and get her to school and back. And my understanding, I believe she is from China. I believe that I understand it to be that both of her parents have passed away and that she may foresee staying here beyond her school year. I think this might be her senior year. I'm not positive about all that. If any of this rings with you and you think, maybe my family and I, or maybe I'm supposed to be a part of, you know, this somehow. If you want to be connected with Jason, you let me know. Catch me, email me, call me, whatever. I don't care. I will get you in touch with him. And I'm just throwing it out there. I know that's a big ask, but you know, you don't know till you ask. So maybe God wants to use somebody here in our church to be a part of this young lady's life and get to show Christ to her. And what an awesome opportunity that could be. So some of you are like, I have enough teenagers at my house. I understand. But hey, what's one more, right? We've been working through the Sermon on the Mount here at 24 for a while now. And we're continuing to do that today. Last week I talked about salt. This week I'm talking about light. Let me tell you what, it was raining so hard through the first half of the last service, I felt like I was screaming at everybody. So if they left and they looked like this, you know, that's why, okay? So just hopefully I won't have to scream at you guys today, so y'all behave. But we've been talking about salt. We talked about salt last week and what's it mean for us to be salt to others and this calling that we have on our lives to be salt. Some awesome, amazing stuff, and you'll just have to go listen to the podcast because I don't have time to explain it all. As it is, I don't have time to explain everything that I've got for you today, which was proven in the last service, and I knew that would be the case, but I still stick it in my notes and in hopes that somehow I will become the micro machine man. All that being said, some of you are like, what's the micro machine man? Just don't worry about it. Go look it up on YouTube. So today, we're talking about the second half of this. I mentioned last week that most people that would probably preach this passage of Scripture would probably preach all of this together, salt and light. And I just really felt led to preach through salt and talk about that. And then today, we're preaching through light and talking about that. And so that's what we're doing. It's Matthew chapter 5. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. If you don't have a Bible, our ushers have Bibles. They're going to walk the aisle. And if you need one, just throw your hand in the air and wave it like you don't care. And they will give you one. If you don't own one, it is a gift. You keep it. If you just need to borrow it because you're lazy and didn't bring yours, that's fine. We will let you borrow it and you can put it on the shelf when you're done. But Matthew chapter 5 is where we are today. We're going to bounce through several passages today, but I think all in all, I think I'll try to keep up where you guys can keep up with me. Poor Kathy up there today, I gave her like 10 passages of Scripture or something like that, maybe 12, I don't know, it was a lot. But all short little pieces of stuff, and all having to do with light. Light is one of those things that we take for granted, isn't it? I mean, we think about, you know, think about all the things that we take for granted. Normally we're thinking about, well, I take the fact that I've got a nice toilet for granted, or I've got a, a lock on my door, or I've got this, or I got that. And the truth is, light is one of those things that women, we take for granted a lot. Of course, now, if we go through a season like it's raining, you know, constantly, and we're just waiting for a day of sunshine to come, then we're like, oh, man, finally a gorgeous day to go out and to play or to hang out with my family or whatever it is. And we love that. You know, that's huge to us when that happens. Well, light is such a big deal that God made it the very first thing. Look at Genesis 1:3. You will find that light was the first thing that he spoke into existence, which I love that he gets to speak that into existence, but yet I can't keep up with one flashlight in my garage. You know, that's what I'm thinking, because I have kids and they love flashlights, and I get it because I was a kid and I loved flashlights too. So, but you know, I think about this and I think about light in of itself. You know, it's one of those things that we take for granted to the point that we don't really recognize what it does. Now, if you're a farmer, if you're a gardener, then yeah, you know what light does. You know, you recognize, you know, that the light is good and you need light. If you mow much grass for a living or something, you know, I mean, you need some light. Like you want rain and you want sunshine because that keeps the grass growing and that keeps the mowers going, right? That keeps money coming in. So, you know, you've got this understanding that light does things. And so if Jesus is going to call us to be light, which he does in this passage, you know, what's that mean? Well, let's read it and we'll just keep talking about it. Okay. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. And it says this. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. By the way, Jesus, when he came and he said, "I am the light of the world." Now we can look at that and we can say, well, now he's saying that we're the light. Well, yes, and we're gonna get into what all that means and why he's saying both, okay? "A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So if we look at light, and if you're going to look at light, you've got to talk about darkness. You can't have light and not have darkness. I mean, light isn't even any good where there is more light. You know, if I've got a really bright, spotlight, you know, and we've got it turned on, and then I take a little rinky-dink flashlight and I turn it on, it does nothing, you know? I mean, it's there, but it's really not doing anything. In fact, we're probably getting in the way of the spotlight with the shadow that we're making to try to put the flashlight in there, okay? And so, our understanding that for there to be light, there must be darkness. Well, if God is calling us to be light, then there must be darkness in this world. We must understand that this world is darkness. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." One of the things that we see through Scripture is that we see all these ideas, and you know, I think we're guilty a lot of times of just with light and dark, just kind of automatically wanting to go to like good and evil. And it's not necessarily always that. In fact, it can be, but it's not usually that. The truth is that sometimes it is an understanding of us being in the light is for us to understand something. It might be that we understand truth or knowledge versus being in error or having ignorance over something. It can be about purity and filth, purity versus filth or whatever. But the truth is that God has called us to be light. And when he's done so, what he's doing is calling us to do something specific. And if we look at this passage of Scripture, we see what it is. If you look at this passage and it says, "You're the light of the world, city on the hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others," helps us to see that this isn't something that we do behind closed doors. This is a calling. And it's a calling for us to be involved in the lives of others. For us to be light means we're involved in the lives of others. It means that we are light in darkness. Okay? It's very simple. I know you're like, okay, very simple. I get that. "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Light does some things. If we're to be light and we're to go into darkness, and we understand that the world is darkness, and that means that we're supposed to be involved in the lives of others, if we're to do all that, we've got to understand what light does. What does light do? Well, it does one thing that we read about salt last week that people used to use it for, which was fertilizer. It fertilizes. It guides. It cheers. You know, it cheers people up. I get cheered up. Nice, beautiful, sunny day. You know, I used to have this Bronco I restored years ago. It was an early Bronco. It was like, for you Jeep guys, you can read them and weep. Broncos are so much better. Just take it and suck it up, okay? I'm just messing. No, I'm really not. It's a 73 model. It's an early Bronco. One of these little, they're kind of like a Jeep. They're little, short, small things. And man, it was awesome. And I had it during my student ministry years. And then even while we started 24 for the first several years of the church, it was bright yellow. It was viper yellow, if you ever saw it. And man, I love that thing. And so now it's still today, like Aaron and I have this phrase that we say when there's like a day that's just like an awesome day, that would be like the best day to like go out just on a ride with like a top down kind of thing. We say, this is great Bronco weather. You know, and years later, we still don't own a Bronco, but we're still dreaming of owning another one again one day. You know, but it's just one of those things. And I think for us to recognize that light is something that should cheer people up. It should make people happy. Think about that. Think about God calling us to be light in other people's lives. And what's it mean? How does that work out that we would be a part of the process of cheering people up, that he would use us in their lives to do a great thing? That we would fertilize, that they would grow around us. We talked about that last week with salt. That they would grow because they're around us. The truth is this. People around us, we're causing effect on them, whether we realize it or not, one way or another. Good or bad, the sin that we do in secret affects our lives, that we think has nothing to do with anybody else around us, and we think that it doesn't affect anybody, it's not hurting anybody, there's no reason to worry about it. That's a lie. Satan loves for you to lie, you know, lie to yourself like that. I mean, he loves that. He's like, oh man, if I can get them to believe that, man, they'll be a mess. And in fact, they'll actually affect people around them in negative ways that they don't even realize, because the truth is our fertilizer can either be good or bad. And we can affect people for positive or for negative things. Light isn't needed where it already is. The truth is that we live in a dark world, and light is needed, very much so. You look at this passage of Scripture, and in verse 16 it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. Does that confuse you at all? Maybe here's the better question. Doesn't Jesus also teach us to not do things to be seen? Doesn't he also teach us that, you know, that we're not supposed to do things to toot our own horn and all this kind of stuff? And then here he's saying, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. What's that about? How do you justify that? How do you take another passage of Scripture that we know? In fact, let's just read it, Matthew 6, because I'm not just going to talk about it. Let's actually look at it. Matthew 6, verse 1, it says this. This is also Sermon on the Mount, so I'm not going to go too far into it because I don't want to ruin it for later. It says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. I'll read it again. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. If you skip down to verse 3 and 4, it says this. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Okay, so you're like, okay, Chris, so now what? We're supposed to wage war between the verses, between the passages? No, not at all. Not at all. If you look at that first verse right there in Matthew chapter 6, I'll read it again. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, and here you go, in order to be seen by them. This is a heart issue. That's what this is. This is a heart issue. This is a pride versus humility issue. This is saying, hey, guess what? No. Go and do good works before men, that they might see me work in you, that God himself may be glorified, is what the passage in chapter 5 says. This one is very clear in helping us to see. You can put that back up there, if you don't mind. That if we need to make sure that we are not doing these things for our own good in order to be seen by them. If we're doing stuff so that people will see us and go, oh man, look at that guy. I mean, he's awesome. Look at him doing awesome stuff, right? Like, people really think that most of the time. But that's in our mind, that's the way we justify it. Like, they're gonna see me be really awesome right now. Right? You know, and that's our pride. Our pride is making us believe, you know, I'm gonna do this so that I can be seen. Well, when we're doing that, when we're doing things so that it is for our own good, that we might be seen doing these things, that's a pride issue. That's a sin issue. And that's the opposite of what we've been called to do when it comes to verse 16 in Matthew chapter 5. I'll read verse 16 in Matthew chapter 5 again. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. And here you go. And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, this was a big discussion, you know, for us a while back. We got Serve Sunday. If you don't know what Serve Sunday is at 24, that comes around every 3 months. The first Sunday of every month is a little different around here, if you didn't know that. Our services are very different. If we're here and every third month, we do what's called Serve Sunday, where we meet here for the 9 o'clock hour. And this is actually our next first Sunday, which is the first Sunday of September coming up here, is the next one. We will meet here at 9 o'clock, and we'll have a very short service. I call it our pep rally for Jesus, where we kind of remind ourselves of the mission that God has sent us on. And then we leave here together in teams, and we go serve the community. It's amazing. It's awesome. The conversation that we had one night at the staff meeting went something like this was, you know, what about, how do we protect ourselves from not looking like we're trying to toot our own horn? One of the things that, one of the things I dislike about Serve Sunday is I can't get to see every little project. I just want to go see it. I just want to go see what people are getting to do for the kingdom, you know? I mean, that's the way I'm like thinking about it and looking at it, and I see all this stuff. So we encourage people. We're like, hey, take pictures, shoot video, send that stuff to Jerry, and then Jerry usually makes like a nice little montage thing and puts it to some sappy music, and then we stick it on the internet, right? And it's awesome because, and I don't know about you guys, but like especially the first time I saw one of those things of like all of these teams on a Sunday morning out serving people in our community, I'm just thinking, man, this is amazing. Look at all these people serving God. When somebody brought up, you know, well, at what point does that look like we're trying to be showy and toot our horn? I said, that's a great question. I said, and the truth of that question, I think, really comes down to it is a heart issue. It is a heart issue. And can somebody perceive it as one thing when it's not? Sure they can. They probably can. And we pray that they wouldn't. But the truth is this. If they know us, and we truly love Jesus, and he lives within our hearts, and we're humble people and not prideful people to begin with, then when they see that, they will see humility and God's glory working through us. They won't see pride and arrogance and all these other things, which begs the question, are we prideful? Are we arrogant? I'm just talking about all of us as individuals or whatever. Is that something that we struggle with? Is that something you struggle with? Because if it is, I can guarantee you, let me say that again. I can guarantee you it's going to get in the way of God's glory. Because pride and arrogance are things that lead to us wanting the glory. We want to be recognized. And hey, everybody loves a pat on the back. And we need to be encouraged from time to time. But if our reasoning behind doing things is so that we might be seen, then we have found ourselves in sin. We've come against the glory of God because we're trying to take the glory for us. You see, pro the kingdom of God is for us to say, we're doing this because of who Jesus is and as a reminder of what he's done and what he is going to continue to do. That there is a kingdom coming. I think we forget that. We get so caught up in right now, all we can see is like the projects that we have on a list, or the things that we've got to do this week, or where we've got to be, or where we got to go, who we got to meet with, or whatever it is. And the truth is that this is all temporary. This is all temporary. This is not it. God's kingdom is coming. And our ability to get to serve Jesus goes on even much further than even just giving him glory. It points to that. It points to this isn't it. Our hope isn't in here. Our hope is in him and what he has yet to even do still. So you go back to the scripture, verse 14, Matthew 5, verse 14, and it says this. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. We'll talk about the light of the world piece in a minute. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Historically, going back to that period of time, what you would have is in a lot of cities in that era would be buildings that were built with limestone, which is a kind of a whitish rock, if you will. And when the sun would shine, you know, on a bright sunny day, a city that had lots of buildings made of limestone would beam. It would reflect light, if you will. And so it would be bright. In fact, when I think about this, I think about like the, you know, it seemed like it was always like in the Roadrunner and Coyote, you know, cartoons when they're like in the desert. What's up with our kids not getting to see that stuff these days? I was showing my kids that on YouTube the other day and they were loving it. And I think about like, when they're in the desert and they're like thirsty and they're starting to have starting to see things that aren't there, the mirage, if you will, that's off in a distance, and they see something twinkle, and what is it? Is it possibly this huge lake, you know, and all this kind of stuff? You know, I think about that when I think about the city on a hill deal, because I think, truthfully speaking, you know, when you were traveling back then, and you would see the city in the distance, the city would shine in the daylight because of the limestone buildings. What Jesus is trying to help us to see is that he is calling us to do something very special. And it's the opposite of what many of us want to do. And I mentioned this last week, I mentioned that, you know, a lot of times we want to go home, pull the shades, close and lock the door, and everybody's just nice and safe. Let's just be good and safe. We like our safety and our comfortableness, and man, we'll stay in. We don't even have to go to the video store anymore. Remember when you used to have to go to the video store? Video stores were such interesting places, weren't they? The fact that we still have some is amazing to me, but whatever. Good for them. We can stay in, we can watch Netflix, stream it, you know, whatever. We don't need to go anywhere. Heck, we can have the food all delivered to the house if we want to, you know. And we'll just board the place up and we'll just hide. And we'll just stay and everybody will be safe from taking care of our family. And God didn't call us to that. He didn't call us to that. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." He goes on further in verse 15, says, "Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So, for us to follow Jesus, for us to follow the Lord and what He's commanded us to do, asking us to do, is for us to recognize that we've got to be a part of other people's lives. Did you hear that? Got to be a part of other people's lives. Now, Chris, I don't have time to be a part of other people's lives. I think you're missing it. You're probably already a part of other people's lives. Now, although you might be shutting some of them out, you know, and I encourage you to maybe open those doors back up a little bit and quit putting the deadbolt on them. You know, the truth is that God is giving us opportunities to be light into the lives of so many people around us. I could pick any one of you in here, any one of you, even somebody that I might be really close to, and say, you are going to be a light into the lives of so many people that I will never get the chance to be a light into their life. That is not on accident. That is God's design for Him being made known in this world of darkness. It's His design. City on a hill is a reminder for us that we are to be that for people. Furthermore, in shining light, others are seeing truth lived out. This also comes in them hearing the truth. Now, it makes sense that we might understand something more when it's explained to us. We hear it, you know? But I think it goes even further than that. Truth is better explained in words sometimes, but it's also better seen in action. Let me ask you a question. Why would you believe anything is true if you don't see it acted out and lived out? If somebody tells you that they love the Titans, I mean, they love the Titans. I mean, and they talk about it all the time, you know, and I love the Titans. I love the Titans. And go, okay, well, cool, awesome. And then you get to work on Monday and you go, hey, what about that game yesterday? And they go, I don't know, I didn't watch it. Why not? Electricity out? No. I just didn't care. Well, they must not love the Titans, you know? Or if they say, well, you know, I was catching the Bears on TV. And I was just really amped up about watching the Bears. It took me back to the Walter Payton days, you know? And I just really thought, man, that's awesome. I'm going to watch the Bears today instead of watching the Titans. I go, you're not really a good Titans fan, are you? And honestly, I think that that's the way the world looks at so many believers. So many of us have said that we may love Jesus, but we've shown them something completely different. There's a word for that. You already know what that is, and we hate being called that. The truth is that we all fall into it from time to time. God wants to use us for His glory. He wants to show the world who He is through us. You know, the reason that we do things like Serve Sunday, which, by the way, my understanding is that you can go ahead and sign up for Serve Sunday now and see the projects that we're going to be doing and that kind of stuff out in the foyer if you want to today. I encourage you to do that. Such an awesome opportunity. Here's one of the reasons that we do Serve Sunday. It's not because that we believe that one Sunday every 3 months that we shouldn't just have a normal thing. We just wanted to shake it up or whatever. This is us following out what we believe God is leading us to do in trying to lead the people of 24 Church and of our community, hopefully too, to understand that being the church is not going to church. Because we don't go to church. We are the church, okay? And for us to be the church, we've got to live that out. So what's it look like for us to live that out? And it goes back to what I was just talking about a second ago. There's so many people in this world that have seen Christians call themselves Christians and talk about this great and glorious Jesus, which, by the way, I'm getting to meet in person my friend that I've talked about for a few weeks on and off now that's an atheist friend of mine up in Ohio. He's coming down to Nashville tomorrow. We're gonna get to hang out for a little bit. And I'm so looking forward to that. But even he, I've seen him make posts of things along that line of like, I like your Jesus, but you Christians not so much, you know? And it should speak to us. It should challenge us. And we go, well, I'm not Jesus. I'm not perfect, Chris. I'm with you, okay? I'm not perfect either. I'm going to let people down. But the truth is that, you know, people need to see us in humility. They don't need to see us cocky and arrogant and all this other stuff. I mean, that's all about us. If they see us as people that truly know the Lord, then they will see people who humble themselves to who He is in our lives, which means we'll be changed. We won't be the same. And the light will come from us, out of us. But it comes from somewhere. John 12:46 says this. John 12:46 says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. I'll read it again. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Do you remember what it was like before you knew Jesus? Do you remember the darkness? Can you remember that? For anybody that's here that has ever really trusted in the Lord to be their Savior, has prayed, said, Jesus, forgive me. I confess, you know, you're my Lord and Savior deal. God, if God has changed your life, saved you from your sin, rescued you from the darkness, then you remember the darkness. You remember what that was like. So many people, and this is a side note, but it's important, so I'm going to say it, and I've already experienced it this morning. So many people hang their hat on they've always just gone to church. Well, I've always just known God. I've just always known God was there. Okay. Good. Even the devil knows that God is there, okay? Don't you think that he knows? And Paul says that. I think for us to remember that this is something that God does in our life. The Scripture teaches us the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, helps us to see that we are sinners and that we need a Savior, that we need to trust in Jesus. And it's a very simple thing that I think we've complicated so much that we've made it about whether or not we've been religious in our past or not. And the truth is, it doesn't matter whether we've been religious in our past or not. It doesn't matter who our daddy was or who our grandfather was or who our auntie was or whoever. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. All that matters is, have we ever come to that realization of recognizing that we need a Savior and we have received Him to be our Savior? We've asked Him to be our Savior. We've asked Him to save us. We've turned and asked for forgiveness, if you will. It's a very simple thing, but we make it out to be so much more than it is. And instead, we hang our hat on other things, religious things. You know, well, I felt good this one day, whatever. I just want to encourage you. Don't leave here today. If you question whether or not you know the Lord or not, if you question whether or not you know Jesus as your Savior or not, let me just encourage you. You don't have to leave here today without knowing that you do for sure. You don't have to walk out of here today going, well, I think I know the Lord. I think Jesus is my Savior. You don't have to do that. I'd be glad to talk with you, pray with you. Let me tell you what, God is stirring in a bunch of people's hearts right now. I had so many people, this is no lie, I had so many people this morning after the first service that wanted to talk about knowing Christ, being baptized. I had to make appointments with them this week. I had to just say, I tell you what, just go out there and give them your information and sign up on a sheet and we're going to get with you. Maybe God's working in your heart. Maybe He's working in your life. Maybe He's saying, you that have been hanging your hat on this or that, quit hanging your hat on everything else and hang it on me. I'm the only one that is going to show you the way because I am the only one that is the light. Our light comes from Him. Just like the city on the hill, Jesus says, I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Just like the city on a hill that reflects the light of the sun, we as believers, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we too reflect the light that comes from the Son of God. We reflect His light. It's not our light. And you know what? That kills us, especially guys, because we want to like we're used to in life, we're just used to like, we just work harder for stuff. You know, when something's not going our way, we just work harder. We got another bill. Okay, well, I'm going to work harder. I'm going to get more overtime. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And the truth is that at the end of the day, we can't work harder for God's light. It's His light. It only comes from Him. We can only get it from Him. And it's like one of the simplest things that we can do in this life. But it is literally to humble ourselves and follow Him. But we can't do that if we don't know Him. And we don't know him if we're hanging our hat on religious experiences versus knowing that Jesus has saved us or not. Our light is really his. And it should leave others curious as to where the light comes from. I heard, I read a commentator, I believe it was R.C. Sproul, say this. He said, and it reminded me of the salt thing last week. You remember the salt thing? We talked about last week, one of the things that salt does, of course, we are preservatives for the good that is in this world, that we would still preserve those things. That's one of the ways that we are salt. But one of the other ways that we were salt was that we would leave a thirst with people. If you eat a lot of salt, it makes you thirsty, right? Well, if we're salty to the people around us, then it leaves those people around us thirsty for something. Well, that thirst should be for, and we see Jesus talk about this in the Beatitudes, that they would hunger and thirst for righteousness because they know us. In other words, that they would want what we have. They would see it and go, man, I need that kind of peace. I need that kind of, you know, I need that kind of trust in the Lord or whatever. And they would see something in us that's different. It would be salt. Well, same kind of deal here. And what Sproul's talking about, he said, you know, that our light, the light that shows through us, should leave others curious as to where the light comes from. And he said this, to the point that I wish that people, when they would meet me on the street, would walk away saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder who you are. Who are we? Who are we? We're called to be reflectors. And when the light of the Son of God, if we know Jesus is our Savior, then that light is in us and it permeates out of us. It makes us different. It makes us new. It restores us to being somebody that God created as a creation to give him glory, to make him known, that when people would see us, they would see him. They would see his work in us. That's what I hope when I post that video after Serve Sunday. That's just amazing to see God working through so many people. And I think for the most part, I think that's our hearts. I hope that it always is. Bonhoeffer says this, it says, flight into the invisible is a denial of the call. A community of Jesus, check this out, a community of Jesus which seeks to hide itself has ceased to follow him. A community of Jesus which seeks to hide itself has ceased to follow him. God never intended for us to idle through life. Are you idling through life right now? Are you at a place right now where you're just kind of doing what we got to do to just get by? I'm just trying to get by. It's easy to get there, isn't it? Too much on our plates or whatever it is, and next thing we know, that's what we're doing. We're just doing the bare necessity of what it takes to get there. He has not called us to idle through life. He has called us to be light. And I'll be quite honest with you. We will never be happy doing anything else. The best moments of my life have been the moments that I knew God was using me for his glory. That's hard to explain if you've never experienced it. But when I've been in the moments of like just knowing that I'm doing what the Lord is wanting me to do, even if it's a hard decision or whatever, even in those moments, I look back on moments, remember we didn't have a dime to our name, wondered how we would pay bills, wondered whatever. I mean, the typical things that might on a normal day just run me into the ground, you know, like anybody else. I look back on some of those moments, and we had such a peace. When we're following the Lord and doing what he's called us to do, that's where we will be. We will be at peace. There's nothing else that brings that. We can't own anything. We can't buy anything. We can't have enough money. We can't have enough time to get that kind of peace. It only comes from Jesus. You know that saying, in the dark? You know, like somebody, you might hear somebody say, well, I didn't know anything about that. I was in the dark. They left me out. I don't have a clue what's going on. I've just been in the dark on the whole situation, you know. We've used that before. We understand that. Well, to kind of combat that statement is this statement, which is to see the light. So you've got in the dark and see the light, right? And you know, I think a lot of times I think what happens is that for a lot of us as believers, we're in the dark, but we don't know it. Now, if you've never trusted in Jesus to be your Savior, I can guarantee you you're in the dark. You're still trying. You're trying to have an understanding of what it means to trust in Jesus, to believe in Him. And I just want you to know that I'm praying that you could see the light. I'm praying that God would show you the light. And for us as believers, a lot of times we're in the dark. And you go, well, Chris, well, how are we in the dark if we have the light? Well, I think we're in the dark because a lot of times we choose to do things that we know are of the darkness. In fact, I'll just to go to it. John chapter 3, verse 19. It says this. It says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Now check this out. For everyone who does wicked things and hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. You see, one of the things that the light does is it exposes those things. Verse 21. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. This whole passage helps us to see this understanding that sometimes this is the truth, and this is hard to hear for us. This is hard for all of us to hear, but we need to hear it, and we've got to pay attention to it, and it's worth asking ourselves honestly every day if we're here. But the truth is this: sometimes we love the darkness. And it's not because we don't know what the light is. It's not because we don't know how great it is. But for moments in time in our lives, we love the darkness. We love sin. And we'll say to that sin, you know what? I love you so much, I'm going to hold on to you. Even after we've heard the truth. Even after we've seen it destroy other people. And we still cling to it. We still hold on to it. And God's saying, come into the light. Let it be exposed. Well, that's the last thing that we want, isn't it? For that stuff to be exposed, for who we really are behind closed doors, when nobody's looking, what we're really thinking about sometimes. Man, we don't want that. He says in verse 21, but whoever does what is true comes to the light. Now here's the problem. What do we take as truth? What do we take as truth? We go, well, Chris, you already know the answer to that. We're at church, and we teach the Bible at this church, so we know what the truth is, right? It's the Bible. It's God's Word. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what? I see people constantly take other things as the truth. Let me ask you this question. Are you going to take the news as the truth all the time? Probably not. Much as we might love the news. What's your truth? Is your truth your favorite blogger? We go, well, they're a Christian. They're a good blogger. So it's got to be true. No. We have to check everything against Scripture. Is the Huffington Post our new truth? I think not. I sure hope not. But you see, we like those things and we want to believe those things to be our truth sometimes because those things are some of those pieces of darkness that we love and we don't want to let go of. And if we can just get a couple of little things to come alongside with us and just go along with the little bits of darkness that we really like and help us to feel better about ourselves and go, well, it's okay that it's there. It's okay to not take God's word for what it says on this issue. We'll just go with that. That just makes us feel a little bit better about all of it, doesn't it? if we're going to start doing that, we have gone down a bad road. And y'all know that. We know that. I just encourage you, just beware. Check things against God's word. Don't be in the dark. Jesus came, died on a cross, that we might see the light. You know, a good example of this, you ever see the movie Shawshank Redemption? In Shawshank Redemption, and I won't get into the whole thing, it's based in a prison, but in Shawshank Redemption, one of the prisoners is an older man, and he has been there for decades. I mean, a long time he's been in prison. And he finally, I mean, you grow to love this guy. I mean, he's just like a super kind guy. He's like the librarian in the prison. And I mean, just like the nicest guy. I mean, just a grandfather type figure. You just love this guy. And then one day, they release him. So he goes out into the world. And they've got programs that help guys get acclimated to the world and all this stuff. And they help him get a job. And he gets a job and he gets a place. And you see his little apartment that he gets, and you see him. He gets this job, and he's sacking groceries for his job. I'm thinking, man, here's a guy that's lived all of his life, and here he is, he's sacking groceries, you know. And he gets his apartment, and you see him in the apartment. And I remember one scene, like he has a bed, and he lays on the bed, whatever. Well, he's so used to living in a prison cell that you see him later on. And he's laying on the floor by the bed. He can't even handle sleeping on a bed because he hasn't had a good one ever, or at least in a long time. He was in the dark, and he didn't realize it. Didn't realize he was in the dark, but he was. When he came into the light, he didn't know what to do with it. And I think for so many of us as believers, I don't think that we realize sometimes that we're in the dark. I don't think that we realize that we've traded truth sometimes for other things so that we can make ourselves feel better about things. And listen, let me just tell you something. God's not interested in you feeling like a pile of duty, okay? That's not his interest here. His interest is that he loves you. And he created you, and he knows better about you than you know about you. And I know that's hard for us to get because, again, we can be prideful and arrogant and think we've got it all together. And at least, if anything, I know me better than anybody knows me. Well, guess what? You don't. God knows more about you than you know about you because he's your creator. He understands how your body works. He understands how your mind works in ways that we will never understand as far as science ever gets. And as amazing as the human anatomy is, he's saying, trust in me. I'm your parent. I'm your father. I love you. I don't want you to get hurt by these things of this world, of the darkness. See the light come out of the dark. Our calling looks so much different than what we think sometimes. Hit the lights. I see you playing on your phone over there. Not stopping either. No, I'm talking about you. Yeah. Turned it off finally. I saw you. Jesus is watching you. You know, the thing about the dark is when we're in it, we begin to acclimate to it, don't we? There's a part of me that likes the dark. I mean, I know there's a part of you that does too. And obviously God made the dark just like he made the light. And I think it's important for us to remember that. But I think instead of looking at it as all evil and good and that kind of thing, I think we've got to recognize that sometimes it is not about what it is, but it's about who we are called to be. And who we are called to be is light. Now, the longer that we sit here in the dark, the more you are acclimating to, you know, what's going on. And even the smallest of lights, these little fake candles, if you will, which you probably didn't know they were fake until I just said that. But that's why we're able to send the kids up to turn them off when we're too tired to walk back up on the stage after a Sunday morning. But even these little fake candles, you know, it's kind of bright because it's dark, you know, or the holes in the ceiling where the skylights were from where this was a warehouse and technically is still a warehouse. And all those kinds of things. I mean, it's amazing. Like, if we could actually, like, shut off, like, all the light in here, you know, it would be, like, super dark. You know, it would be just amazing. Like, you wouldn't be able to see anything, you know, even after your eyes acclimate. You know, you just wouldn't be able to see anything. And I think for us to recognize that, you know, our calling to be light in the darkness is so important that that even, you know, I think for so many, we discount ourselves from being able to believe that we might be used for anything of real, any real good or any real importance. But I think that we discount just how powerful one little light is in the dark. And this little lamp that sets in our kitchen that we leave on at night for the girls to be able to see in the house if they come downstairs. And, you know, I picked this lamp because it is a small lamp. And the bulb in it's just a little bitty bulb. It's just a little bitty thing. And, you know, it's this reminder for us that, you know, with this light on, I can begin to see. You know, I can begin, number one, I could see my way if I needed to. I could jump down and run up the aisle versus before I would have probably, like, jumped straight down and, like, stepped on Cody's head or something, you know. Which would have been bad. But, you know, I can begin to see. I can begin to make people out. I can begin to see what's going on. Well, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us on the lampstand in the dark being light, which means we got to be seen, which means we got to be involved in people's lives. But we've got to do so with the right heart, not because we're wanting to do so to, like, toot our own horn or think, get people to think good about us or whatever, but because we love the Lord and he's moving us to do this, and we're getting to be light on his behalf. We're reflectors, okay? Thing about the light is, you know, I think for so many of us in darkness, I think instead of being on the lampstand, the truth is that, you know, we're this. I mean, every once in a while, we're all going to have days where we're in this. But the truth is that I believe that there's a lot of Christians that this is where they live primarily all the time. They're living in darkness, but with no light. Jesus is not permeating through them. He's not working on their hearts. They're not spending time with him to allow those things to begin to happen, which happen naturally. Pride takes over. Got it all figured out. Too busy. Whatever it is, and at the end of the day, we miss light. Well, let me ask you a question. The people that are in your life, if you love them, does it not make sense that we would want to be light to them? And so, Chris, I don't even know what to do with that. I don't even know. Like, I'm not good with words. Stop. We've made excuses long enough like that. The gospel is so very simple that when we are light in the darkness, it shines. It shines. I can see the sound booth, the front of the sound booth, because of this little light. And here's the beauty of it, is that God didn't just call us to do this alone. And I'll be honest with you, there's days in my life when I feel like I am trying to follow the Lord, that I can get discouraged. And one of the things that I can let Satan discourage me with is feeling like I'm the only one. You ever feel like that? Ever feel like I'm the only one at my house, or the only one at my job, or the only one on the team, or the only one wherever that is trying to be the light, right? But the beautiful thing is that God didn't create us to do this alone. He created us that we would do this together. And what the difference it makes when you just add one more. Because when we add just one more, look how much more we can see. I can make people out. I see Lee and Valerie sitting right back there. You know? I think that we underestimate the power of the light and what it has over darkness. But especially when we do it together. You see, God didn't call us to do this alone. He called us to do this as the church. And that's why we've got to quit thinking about a church as a building, because warehouses don't create a whole lot of light in a community. But a body of believers that is the church does. When their light shines out of their love for Jesus Christ. Josh? Kevin? You see, we're missing one of the key components to who God has called us to be if we don't have this, if we don't live it out. And I get it. I get it. We didn't realize that we got to here sometimes. We didn't realize that we were in the dark. But that's why God comes along with his word and he says, come on, see the light. We were made to illuminate this world. If you're taking notes and you just want to write a couple passages down that I don't have time to read through, I encourage you to read them later. Ephesians 5, 7 through 13. Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Matthew 6 even, you can go check out, also Sermon on the Mount. But it talks about how the eye is the lamp of the body, and if the eye is good, it's full of light. If the eye is good, it's full of light. If bad, the whole body full of darkness. If we want to shine in the night, we've got to keep our eye on the light. Somebody else said that, by the way. I'd make it up. By God's design, we together are lights. One light affects the darkness, but a sea of lights illuminate his glory in the world to others. It shows that there's a kingdom to come. And that's what Jesus is doing all through the Sermon on the Mount. He is pointing toward this kingdom that is to come. And I think that it's important for us to go constantly go back to that, remember that. It's not about here. It's not about now. There is a kingdom to come. Salt preserves the good, but the light of the gospel transforms even the bad to good. Matthew 4:16 says this. It says, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Have you trusted in the light? If you trusted in Jesus to be your Savior, did you know that God the Father sent Jesus to die for us that we might be able to have forgiveness for our sin? In other words, he took the death that our sin deserves. He took the punishment that we deserve. Jesus did on the cross. We killed him. He allowed us to kill him with his shedding of his blood. And then he went on. He didn't just die. He defeated death 3 days later, came back from the grave to show that he wins over death. Do you want to win over death? Better yet, do you want to win life? I'm just telling you, what God has done for us is remarkable and amazing. The light brings truth to bear and rescues people out of darkness. God sent his son Jesus to rescue you out of darkness. And he wants to do that. Not just one time. I'm talking about like every day for the rest of your life. And from here into eternity, that rescue maintains and it stays with us. He rescues us every day from the darkness. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this. Says, if we find in ourselves a tendency to put the light under a bowl, we must examine ourselves and make sure that it really is light. We must examine ourselves and make sure that it really is light. This morning you may be here and maybe you've never trusted in the Lord. Maybe you've never understood what it meant that why Jesus would die on a cross. Maybe you've never had any kind of understanding of that before. I just want you to know what God's done for us. He's done for everybody. It doesn't matter how bad your past is or whatever. I just encourage you to do this. Don't hang your hat on some religious something from the past. I'm just saying, make sure that you know that you've trusted in the Lord to be your Savior. If God's speaking in your heart today and He's saying, trust in me, let me forgive you, let me save you, let me rescue you from the darkness, let it be. Let Him do a work in your life that'll change you forever. For those of us that are believers, and maybe you've been a believer for a long time, I encourage you to ask that question and be honest with yourself. Are there aspects of my life where I'm loving the darkness? Are there aspects of my life that I'm not wanting to believe the truth of God's Word? I just encourage you, God always wants the best for us. Don't fall into the trap that the world is setting for us over and over to believe something different than the truth of His Word. He is the light, and He loves us as His children. He would not do anything to harm us. There are people in our lives that we have been called to be light to. And the question today is, will we let God use us and work through us to be light in this dark world? Let's pray together.